The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. So Jesus says that this is a parable about prayer. But honestly, I think there's quite a bit more happening here. We have this widow today who steps into this space that she does not belong. Widows were the most vulnerable people in society. It meant that this woman had no husband to support her. She had no brothers to take her in, no children to take her in. She had a judicial system that said women were not allowed to speak in court because they were women and therefore they lie and they can't be trusted. I'm not making that up. This woman steps into a space that she doesn't belong. A space that she could have easily have been kicked out of and no one would have batted an eye. Yet she shows up each day. Day after day after day, in this space that she doesn't belong, to demand justice for herself. Not only that, we hear that she has a king who simply doesn't respect people or care for God. There's a reason the Old Testament talks so much about widows, because widows were the most vulnerable people in society. There was this dictate throughout the prophets and throughout the scrolls that widows needed to be taken care of. Yet we learn once again that this is a king who does not care for God nor for people, who does not believe that God will do anything to him if he doesn't follow this dictate. Yet this woman continues to go into a space that she doesn't belong. Our English translation makes this sound kind of nice. The king says that this woman continually bothers me. What the Greek actually says is that this woman's going to give me a black eye with her constant pestering. So this isn't some meek, mild woman coming and saying, "Hey, please give me justice." You can almost imagine it's this little old lady who's coming in with her purse and beating him over the head again and again and again, saying, "Give me my justice, I have been wronged." I think when we hear this parable, we tend to look at the results too. I mean, the king finally does grant her justice. And at the end of the story, Jesus says, "Won't God grant justice to his people more quickly?" It's easy for us to look at this story and say, "Well, hey, if I just simply go to God with my pain, with my concerns, with my requests, then God will immediately respond to me and give me what I want." But we negate the fact that Jesus is talking about a widow here. Once again, a woman who is stepping into a space that she doesn't belong. A space that society said she was not allowed to go into. To ask for something that she had no business asking for. Ultimately, what I think this story is about is an invitation. I think Jesus is inviting all of us here to step into those spaces in our lives, those spaces of discomfort, those spaces of uncertainty, those spaces of fear and anxiety, those spaces that we feel like we don't belong or have no business being in, those spaces that we tend to avoid in daily life. I think Jesus is inviting us to step into these spaces because it is in these spaces that we most profoundly experience God. Now, I haven't been secretive about this. I've been seeing a therapist for about 2 years now. It kind of started after the birth of Vesper and this whole new way of life that, you know, you really aren't prepared for. Being a parent and trying to be a spouse and a parent at the same time. I'm so blessed to be married to such a strong, wonderful person who has opinions like I do. And when I first went into therapy, I remember I sat down on this couch and I just dumped. And I said, here are all my problems. Here is everything that I am struggling with right now. Fix it. And the therapist, like Catherine, laughed in my face. And she said, Chris, that's not what we do here. When I went into therapy, the first thing I had to learn, and it was an uncomfortable lesson, was to let go of this fix-it mentality that we tend to approach a lot of life's lessons with. I've been seeing the same therapist for about 2 years now, and it's been an extraordinary growing experience for me. And I want to share the few lessons that I've learned so far. Primarily, what happened was as I expressed what was going on in my life, what was causing me anxiety and fear and frustration, what my therapist was doing was simply inviting me to step into those spaces, to embrace those feelings, to talk about them, to feel them, and to see what they were telling me about my life, about the way I was raised, about the values and the lessons I had, to actually listen to my feelings and have a dialogue with my own anxiety. What I learned, and this is a big one, was that if I step into these spaces of discomfort or anxiety or fear or anger or whatever it is, if I actually step into it and allow myself to feel it, embrace it, not try to pass through it or fix it right away, but if I actually just step into it and live with it, it doesn't destroy me. Now, that's a big one there, because I think we all fear that if we step into those spaces, it's going to kill us, that we won't survive. But that's one of the biggest lessons, is that it doesn't destroy us, that we can exist there. It was a huge lesson of perseverance, one that created courage and allowed me to continue to step in those spaces, just knowing that no matter how uncomfortable or painful it might be, I'm going to survive it. I'm going to make it through. I'm going to be able to live with it and even allow it to have a conversation with me and inform me about things in my life. Stepping into these spaces and allowing them to talk to me enabled me to seek help from people, something I'm really bad at. But it also allowed me to lean on others, and this has translated into some incredible ways. I've asked for help from Livier. I've asked for help from council, from the congregation. I've been able to lean on people in this church in a way where I'm not the one who's always directing or leading or facilitating, but members of our council and members of our church have been stepping up. And this place is starting to operate more like that well-oiled machine that Luther envisioned. And that all came from saying, hey, folks, I'm not really sure how to deal with this. And it wasn't just events coming up, but it was my own fears and anxieties about this church, its health, its mission, how it seeks to be the church in this world. To be able to be honest and authentic with council and with all of you to say, I'm not sure how to navigate this. What do you all think? And it's been extraordinary. And because I have been seeking help and leaning on others, it's enabled me to be more authentic. I don't have to put on this face of the pastor who knows everything, the pastor who has to be in charge of everything, the pastor who has to have all of the answers with every situation. But rather to be more open about what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. And you know what that's done is it's enabled people to trust me more, because I'm not putting on some kind of a show, but it's helped me identify those same feelings in all of you, to understand that we all have these same fears and anxieties. It's, in a way, it's created these connections. Connections of support, connections of love. It's almost like, you know, where two or three are gathered, Jesus is right there with us. It's going underneath the surface of what we put out for everybody and actually identifying these discomforts and anxieties and fears that we all share and realizing that we're connected and that we can support and care for each other. And then here's the big one for me, folks, and this has been absolutely huge. Being able to step into these spaces has not only enabled me to have conversations with my own discomfort, fears, anxieties, anger, grief, loss, whatever it is, it's also enabled me to see all of the little sparks that are around us all the time. It's enabled me to pull back from the big picture, from not worrying so much of the overall success of Bethania, because that's a fallacy, but to celebrate all of the wonderful little ways that we come together and love each other, the ways that we worship, the ways that God is present right here in this congregation. And I've shared those stories all the time. We had our Oktoberfest just this last Sunday. I spent the first hour of that fundraiser in absolute dismay. I was crushed. We didn't have nearly as many people show up as I wanted there to be. But you know what happened? We raised $4,000 from that fundraiser. And about 20 of us gathered at the very end of the day with beer in hand, and we had a yodeling competition. And it sounded terrible. We were all awful except for Kevin. Kevin was incredible. And he won. But to have that many people gather and yodel horribly except for Kevin, we just laughed and laughed and laughed. And right there in that space, we were together. We were one unit of people embracing that day, that life, that fun, being the church. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus was right there with us. Now the thing is, all of this stuff that I just described, this all is God. This is all the wonderful, wonderful ways that God is present in our lives. I have encountered God more over the last 2 years than I think any time before this. My relationship with my wife has grown. My relationship as a father has gotten stronger. My relationship with this church has become more authentic and more real and so full of love. And all of that is God. Now, I don't say any of this lightly because I know it's difficult what I'm asking us to do. I know how hard it is because I've experienced it myself. But I truly believe that this is where transformation happens. When we step into these spaces of our lives of discomfort. And I know we fear it. We fear it because I still fear it. And I know how we try to avoid it. We either try to distract ourselves and escape those feelings, escape having to step into them. Or we enter into this kind of fix-it mode, like I did on that first day. When we have these fears, the anxieties, whatever they are, when they approach us, we immediately try to control it and say, okay, how do I solve this problem? How do I fix it so quickly that I can just move past it and not think about it anymore? But I'll tell you, most of the time, that's simply not possible. All you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on it and moving on until it creeps up again, often more powerfully. So I think the moral of this story is that Jesus, rather than being a fix-it response for us, is simply inviting us to step into these spaces in our lives, whatever they are, however they come up, to just step into them and feel them, and to realize that they will not destroy us. To be authentic with what they're saying about who we are and how they impact us. And through that authenticity, we can truly discover how much God loves us, how much God loves others, and how much others love us. Stepping into these spaces and realizing that maybe I can't deal with this by myself, so then we lean on others. And then somehow through that process, we become the church that Jesus and the followers of Christ were always trying to get us to be. And then the big lesson in all of this, folks, is all of those little sparks that we get to see along the way. All of those little sparks that when we are focused on the bigger picture, we tend to miss. We don't realize they're there. All of those sparks that are around us all of the time, that when we do recognize them and when they are added up upon each other, they become this massive, incredible, bright light of God's love in our lives. I invite you to step into these spaces in your lives, and if you feel like you don't have someone to lean on in any of that, come talk to me. Come see me. Come lean on me. And I'll tell you the first thing I'm going to say is, I don't know how to fix this for you. But that's kind of the point, isn't it? That in all of these spaces in our lives, if we can just step into them and feel them, we will realize that God is present in everything. Amen. Please stand up as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.